10 a.m. This is the Next Play Show with Carlos McMav. And normally my co-host is Lamar Woodley, but for today's show, he is away. And so I'll be here by myself and get a chance to kind of, you know, talk about some things and get it out there. I tell you what, man, Nas just dropped that new album, but I find myself always going back to the classics, man. Whose World Is This? Man, it's great. It's great, man. We're going to get right into it. You know, hopefully everybody's had a great week. Hopefully everybody's winding down on this Sunday evening, man, getting ready to start back up the work week or, you know, to begin, you know, regular day, your regular week or whatever that may include. Today's show, man, we're gonna hit a couple key areas, man, and we're gonna try to keep the conversation going, being as productive as possible. And hopefully I don't go on too many long tangents, man, but there's a lot of things I kind of want to get into and address. And at the Next Play Show, man, the biggest thing that we focus on, man, is being real. You know what I mean? And when I mean by real, I mean real with an A, R-E-A-L, compared to R-E-E-L. You know, we don't want to be faking, and everything we want to do, we want to be as transparent as possible. You know, this week we just had, man, you know, it's a lot going on, as people say, you know, we want to throw away 2020. But, you know, at the end of the day, to be real with you, man, I embrace 2020. You know, we have to be able to be in the business of embracing it and actually developing and seeing what we can become, you know, hopefully, you know, Lord willing, we make it through 2020. But who we can become after, you know, once things begin to kind of take shape and become a little bit more consistent. You know, this past week, you know, just personally, you know, having to celebrate, I don't want to say so much celebrate, but get a chance to be around family members and remember, you know, our matriarch, my grandmother who passed away. You know, it was always good to kind of put things into perspective. And so had a great time to being with family, man. You get a time to kind of, you know, just to see each other in person. People came up, you know, just to visit. And so it was wonderful. Now, with that being said, family is always family too. And so you understand what that means. But it was a great time, man. And I think honestly, this whole week, everything just came back to reassuring and understanding, you know, me, you know, my role overall as a man, but then more importantly, you know, how the way you can really invest in yourself. And I think we did a show a couple of, probably a year or two ago. And I think we might do it on our next show actually, next week. But, you know, just about doors opening and closing. I think the biggest thing is that this past week showed me is that it doesn't matter what door is open for myself, man. It is up to me to make sure I'm being productive once I walk in that room. And so there's a lot of success, but then there's also a lot of, you know, turmoil that goes along by trying to open up your own doors. But nevertheless, you still got to stay steadfast and work through it all. And, you know, speaking of working through it all, man, let's get into our first topic, our first conversation. You know, it'll be a little bit about, you know, the NBA, you know, major league sports, major athletes, you know, and they stance on, you know, just the overall, you know, social justice movement. And a lot of times when we say social justice, you know, at the end of the day, when people have this conversation, they talk about social injustice, but really let's talk about racial injustice. Let's, you know, quit trying to skirt around the issue and really begin to attack it. Nevertheless, you know, what we have seen over this week and over these past couple months, and actually over my lifetime and many other lifetime, is a different type of disdain for equality, a different type of sustain of just being on the opposite side just to do it. And too many times we allow those people, those folks to be on that side with no education. But then you got to realize, too, and I tell this to people all the time, when you really just talking to a brick wall, you know, not always people are willing to see both sides. You know, people come in with their own biases and then they just stick with them. Sometimes people want to grow, you know, other times, you know, most of the time, some people don't want to, just depending on who the messenger is, right? They could probably understand the message. They just don't like the messenger. And a lot of times that's what we have when we have these unarmed killings and different things systematically are set up against us. And what happens is, as soon as a person is killed, we go straight to, well, what was their history? You know, what was their criminal record? You know, well, I heard this person was bad and this. At the end of the day, someone lost their life. I mean, not every state has a death penalty. You know, so it still doesn't give you cause to pause, even if they are quote unquote a criminal or have a criminal history, for us to still say, well, they still deserve it. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't compute with me, right? You know, I always say that disenfranchised people or minority people are always the ones that always say, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. Well, at the end of the day, when we get into this conversation, man, it's not so much about right and wrong. You know, it's about what is humane and what is moral, who has a moral compass. And a lot of times, and I always tell this to people, man, you cannot put your moral aptitude on others. Some people just don't have it. And so, you know, understanding that background, you know, Major League Sports, in particular the NBA, boycotted a couple of their basketball games, the playoff games, to kind of send a message that they were serious and that they wanted to provoke a conversation, but also wanted to provoke some type of change. Nevertheless, we know when change occurs, a thing change tries to happen, it never occurs peacefully. It never occurs swiftly, nor peacefully, nor with everybody on the same page. And so one of the things that is extremely impactful to me is when people ask the question, did they boycott long enough? You know, they boycotted for about, 3 days, which was pretty much one game. In the playoffs, and you left a lot of commentators to ask the question, well, was this good enough? Could they take a step further? And a lot of times there's people that never tried to make a step or never began to address the issue. And, you know, it brings me back to, I think it was during the 2016 election. And I was distraught and upset that one of the rappers was asked, I think it was Young Thug, was asked about, you know, voting and things of that nature. And he said, man, I ain't worried about voting. I'm just trying to get money, man. Which is a lot of the sentiment, a lot of the statements that you hear a lot in a lot of urban communities, you know, and on a lot of college campuses as well. Just because for the simple fact it's not really in their face. But, you know, we'll get to that conversation a little bit later on. But for when you have people that have their type of platform with their type of income and they're willing to sacrifice the income if needed, but willing to have a realistic conversation to impose and impact change, I think it's great for us to listen. Now, was it long enough? I think it was long enough because at the end of the day, what came from, you know, their boycott was a serious conversation, not amongst us on the outside, but amongst them on the inside, amongst the NBA players. Understanding that they have a platform, but then also they have a little bit more financial backing or stability in order for them to really begin to hold those in charge accountable. That's it. When protests occur and things of that nature, when we try to invoke change, you got to invoke change. Yes, it mostly comes from the grassroots, but you have to be able to hold those that are at the top accountable. You know, those that are the decision makers, those that are sitting at the boardrooms, that's able to direct the conversation in a certain pathway. And if we're not able to do those things, if we're not able to have a real conversation, then at the end of the day, we're still just pawns being moved around in a way in which they see fit. You know, most people that say they're for social justice and they support equality, but don't support protests or don't support violent protests, you know, always go back to, well, what was this country founded upon? You know, the Tea Party wasn't the only thing that occurred, you know, when we were trying to get our independence, you know? And so I always go back to, you know, what playbook are we going by? Are we going by a playbook that was established years ago by this country to show how civil unrest can lead to independence? And if so, if we're following that playbook, then we're not following it stringent enough, right? But I think what it does cause, and it has us to have a conversation with this boycott, is understanding, you know, like John Lewis, like the great John Lewis said, getting into good trouble, but an understanding that civil unrest can lead to equality, but only if those that are in power are willing to say, yes, this is the way we have to move. Yes, this is the way in which we need to have a sustained country. you know, and I feel sorry for those people that think it's just going to go back to you know, folks, the disenfranchised folks and those allies alike, just willing to sit on the sidelines. It's a different generation. It's a different time. People are not just going to sit, right? Eventually, we got to get past the conversation of being woke, right? We got to get past that conversation because people woke now. And people are really starting to hold people accountable. So because people are woke, all right, now you can't just sidestep and say slight things and people won't hear them or begin to address them, right? Like in years past or situations past. So, you know, was it long enough? I think it was long enough. I think if it would have went any further, then I think the point or the purpose should have been to just, you know, get rid of the entire playoff and just sit off the rest of the season. You know, as many people said on social media and other commentators, and say, you know, Kyrie Irving was right. You know, Kyrie Irving said this could be a detriment, you know, more than actually helping. Now, in my opinion, I agree slightly with Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets, but nevertheless, I do believe that continuously have a platform, continuously having these conversations and continuously asking these questions. You know, one of the things that I really admire now is that a lot of the in-game commentators and, you know, post-game commentators, when they ask questions about change. They ask questions about, you know, what are the NBA really trying to do? What are these individuals trying to do to really impact their communities in a positive way? You know, and everybody is right now is really big on the election, but then also, you know, making sure that, you know, besides the election, we're having critical conversations that lead to not only change, but advancement. You know, we're in a time of age that with social media, we have so much information at our fingertips, but that could be, you know, a gift and a curse. And I think it's up to us to make sure that we are using, you know, our ability to critically think and evaluate about what is actually happening or the things that I'm actually seeing. The NBA tried their best, you know, really to begin this change. And I really admire the turning their arenas into polling sites. I think it can lead to, you know, more people being able to vote. I think it can be a little bit more, it can be organized in a way in which it's a great experience. Nevertheless, though, I think it brings a lot of people into one area. So I think when it comes to, you know, just understanding the voting precincts and things that they may go through, I think it could, you know, hit a couple of snags here and there. But nevertheless, man, I really applaud, you know, their steps in which they're trying to take. One of the things that really came from this especially when it came to speaking of like LeBron James and a lot of people that have been outspoken, but mainly LeBron James, is like this notion that people say that because these athletes have money and they have millions of dollars, then they're not able to speak from a point of view based on racial injustice when they are the race that is targeted. Your money does not exclude you from being profiled, just like it doesn't exclude you from death. It doesn't exclude you from, you know, the many issues in which you go through on a day in and day out basis. You know, it's like no different than what we all believe in, right? Like Biggie Smalls said, you know, more money, more problems. It's simple. It's simple. More money, more problems. Thus being that because they have this platform that they're able to speak out and they're able to point out different things that's going on in their original neighborhoods, but then also to their family members, to their friends, to people that may look like them, people that may be in their inner circle, you know, I think it's their responsibility to speak out. Man, I you know, sometimes we live in a society full of hypocrites that at one point in time, we suggested or we stated that athletes don't do enough to impact change, social change. They don't do enough for racial equality. They don't do enough to rebuild in communities, which most of them do a really good job of rebuilding the community part, but sustaining a community, right? And now we have athletes that are quote unquote active or you know, woke, for lack of a better term, and are willing to make changes and willing to have the impact. And we tell them, well, you know, stay in your place because you make millions. I mean, look at Sterling Brown, you know, for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, he's an NBA player. He ran out, I think it's about 2 or 3 years ago. You know, he ran out to a store, I think, to grab food, and then he was racially profiled because he had on a hoodie. And he was stopped and he was detained and he was handcuffed. He ended up suing the local city and the police department. But still, I don't understand when people say, well, you know, you make millions of dollars, you don't have a right to really, you know, you don't have a gripe with the system. You can't keep saying we. Well, you know, people don't always understand, or that people don't always have access to your bank account when they see it. And so you don't know if they're a millionaire or not. And so when they're pulled over and they're stopped, yeah, you may have name recognition of LeBron James, but you don't have name recognition of a G League player or a player that's at the back of the bench, you know, like Jared Dudley or somebody, you know? And so then what you do? Oh, well, he had it coming. Well, at the end of the day, they can't get rid of their blackness. They can't hide their skin color, right? And so I commend those guys that have the platform to push change. But here's the thing that I don't want us to miss, right, is that they have the platform, they're impacting change, they want to hold people accountable, especially I love the way that they're trying to hold the owners accountable. But more or less, the thing that I really enjoy the most is them being able to articulate their positions. That's the thing I like the most, and that was one of the things as a coach I focus on with my players. Is that if you have a conversation, make sure that you articulate well enough to get your point across, right? And so that's where I find myself at when I'm looking at a lot of the things the NBA is doing, when I'm looking at, you know, their boycott, just not the boycott. You know, the NBA started the boycott, but then MLB followed, and the NFL stopped practicing, and the MLS took part. WNBA, you know, the WNBA has been protesting and being active since day one. And they've been some of the first ones on the front line. And so, you know, a lot of times what we don't understand is that you can use your platform for any way you decide to. But when you're using it, make sure that you are willing to be held accountable for the way in which you use it, right? And you have a voice, and when you speak up, just make sure that you can articulate and make sure you have facts to support you. But then even if you feel overwhelmed to speak, make sure you're teaching or you learning. Right? Put yourself in an atmosphere or in a position in which you're always seeking growth. And that's, you know, some of the biggest things that we have to do to be successful. And I think those are some of the things that we need to really get the job done. I commend a lot of the athletes for stepping up to the table and them being able to kind of move these conversations forward. You know, as we kind of wind down right now, we prepare for break. You know, one of the things that I always tell people is that because these players and these athletes have these major platforms, don't underestimate the platform that you have as a civilian or as a person that's not a part of their income or a part of their tax bracket. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. Again, this is Carlos McMath. I'm here solo today. This is the Next Play show. And listen, as we believe here at Next Play, you know, 9:10 a.m., you know, everybody catching plays, get to the next play. See you all after this break.